He couldn't swear by anyone greater because there's no one greater in the entire universe than God. What did he do? He swore by himself. He makes a promise to a man and then he takes an oath. I'm going to keep my promise.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Pastor Bill's continuing study of the New Testament epistle of Hebrews. Last time, we learned that God moves us to spiritual maturity, but we must do our part. Today in Pastor's message, The Oath of God, we'll see that not every believer bears the same amount of fruit, but every believer bears the same kind of fruit as proof that he is a child of God. This is the fruit of Christian character and conduct. Now, let's listen in.
The oath of God. Can you imagine God taking an oath? Can you say, I swear to do this? Can you believe that God would even do that? Well, this morning, you know, as we return to Hebrews, the only book in the Bible that calls Jesus our great high priest. And remember that Hebrews is a book of encouragement. It's not to discourage you, okay? It's a letter of exhortation for all of us, the Jewish believers of that day, while the temple was still standing, that had left Judaism, to press on to maturity, amen? That's what the third warning that we've been in the last two Sundays, that's what we've been discussing. We cannot remain babies. Okay. In other words, we want to grow up into all the things that God has for us. Remember the third warning, they were dull of hearing. They were regressing, not progressing. They should have been teachers by now, but they needed to be taught all over again. In other words, they were refusing to grow up. Now, that's not us. We are going on. Remember the milk of the ministry, the milk of the word has to do with Jesus's earthly ministry, what he did, the gospels and so forth. But solid food belongs to those that are maturing, that are going from glory to glory to glory. Solid food represents what Jesus, our Lord, our great high priest, is doing in heaven right now. Amen? And that's what we're going to look at this morning, and we're going to press on into that maturity, all of us. Now, with all of that being said, as we begin this morning, when we get to the oath of God, if you don't open your ears until then, don't miss it. How's that sound? Just don't miss the oath of God. Now, let's begin, though, in verse 9. And he's going to open with a contrast from what we talked about last week in verses 4 through 8. He says, but beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you. In other words, you're going to go on to maturity. He says, yes, things that accompany salvation. And then he says, though we speak in this manner, meaning the severity of the third warning that we've covered for the last two Sundays. And he does something. He calls them beloved. Only here in the book of Hebrews. He says, you're not apostates. You're not those that don't grow up into maturity. You're not those at all. And beloved never speaks of an unbeliever. It always speaks of a true believer in Christ Jesus. And he says, listen, we are confident, meaning we are totally, completely persuaded, man, that you're going on into maturity about those things that accompany your salvation. So what things do accompany salvation? Well, he's talking, first of all, to Jewish believers. So he's speaking, of course, of the kingdom age, the things that's coming in the future. But he's also talking about to them, because they're Jewish believers. He says, you got to leave back now. The Levitical priesthood is over. It's behind you now. All the ABCs, the elementary truths of the gospel, which are so important, the milk of the word, you have them, keep learning them, but we have to move on to the solid food of the word of God about what our great high priest is doing right now. And you can only do that, we can only do it, by stepping out and going from glory to glory to glory, or into maturity. Amen? There's no other way. And so he tells us to do that. Now listen, verse 9, it's not speaking of salvation. It says those things accompany salvation. Verse 9 is not about justification. They were already justified. That is a past tense act, okay? where God declared them, as they believed in Christ Jesus, as just as if they had never sinned, the great doctrine of justification. They are now the imputation of Christ. His record is now their record. So it's not talking about past tense justification. It's talking about present tense, like in our life, sanctification, where the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer takes us from glory to glory unless we resist Him. Remember last Sunday? Unless we refuse that. From glory to glory into Christ likeness, loved one. So we have such a great salvation, amen? Hebrews 1:14 says we are inheritors of salvation. We're going to inherit those things. It's already ours. Look at verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, and look how they did it, in that you have ministered or served the saints, the holy ones, the set apart ones for God's plans and God's purposes in His life. And then He says, set apart to serve them, the things that you're doing, and also, and do minister. That literally means they have been doing that and they continue to do those things. Do you know that God is not unjust? Do you believe that? Have you ever accused God of not being just? You know, why God? Why, you know, all these things. Listen, God will never act in a way that is not right, perfect, and just. Never. It's impossible for that action to come from God our Father. He is never, never unjust. Now listen, and that verse just told us something, that God sees what you do for Him. No matter how trivial, no matter, or you think it might be trivial, no matter how small, no matter what it is, how large, whatever you do. A moment ago, a person just donated a car to Mexico. And you know, I was almost ready to fall on him with tears. But I'm going to tell you something. God just saw that. Amen? He just saw that. And I don't know about you, but that blessed me. I could start dancing right now. But I'm not because I don't want to do Elvis in front of you. It's a bad joke, guys. Loved one, listen. He sees everything. God doesn't miss anything. I remember when Thomas, not too long ago, he taught through Hebrews in this area, and he said, he doesn't miss that, just a smile that you give to somebody. How important that is. You know, I was eating the other day at, I forget where it was. It was a place of where you eat, though. And there was this waitress. No, she wasn't the waitress. She's the one that greets you, take you to your seat. And I think I was disobedient to the Lord. Because she was dressed in all black and had, it doesn't matter how many, whatever. But what I noticed about her was that she was wearing a crucifix of diamonds. Real small, really small. And I wanted to say to her, that's the most beautiful crucifix I've ever seen. Are you a believer? And I didn't. Then whenever she came again, when I was leaving, I nearly turned around and said something to her, and I swear I regret that I didn't. Do you understand? I mean, because there was something that needed to be said there, and I didn't do it. We shouldn't always be in a hurry, amen? You know? And so whatever we do for the Lord, man, He says He'll never forget your work. He'll never forget whatever you do for others. And then He said to them also and to us, He will never forget your labor of love. The word labor means to labor to the point of exhaustion. He'll never forget your labor of love. And that word in the Greek is God's love, meaning agape. See, our works, they're manifested because we love the Lord, right? Amen. Galatians 5:6 says, faith worketh by love, or it's energized by love. Whenever we do those things, we prove our obedience to the Lord. Jesus said in John 14:15, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. The apostle of love, John, what did he say? 1 John 5:3. He says, in this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments and that His commandments, they are not burdensome, loved one. So listen, we do those things. But let me ask you a question. God says, I'm never going to get what you do for me. You know, you can give just a glass of water to whatever you do for me, I'll never forget. But isn't it amazing that He says, I'll forget your sins? I'll never remember your sins again. So the evidence of their salvation, meaning the Jewish believers here, when Paul the apostle or whoever it was writing Hebrews, he says, I see the evidence of your salvation. In other words, you are bearing fruit. Now listen, God has something for all of us to do. Amen? He never subcontracts out His work. Amen. Ephesians 2:10, we were created for good works. We were also chosen by God in Christ before the foundation of this world for his plans and purposes. Amen. So here, look at verse 11 now. And he writes and he says, and we desire, that word is strong in the Greek, man. It's like we earnestly desire that each one of you show the same diligence. In other words, the same diligence that you've always shown to the full assurance of hope until the end. In other words, don't stop doing what you're doing. Keep on running the race. Keep on serving. Keep on loving others. He says, keep on being mature that you do not become what? Sluggish. There's the same word that we learned in 5:12 where it was translated refusing to grow up, okay? Dull of hearing. Here, it's used the same word, but it's translated basically used to be lazy. In other words, he's saying, don't be lazy. Be diligent. Keep growing. You've got to keep growing up. And he tells us how to do it. But imitate those, meaning the Old Testament saints, imitate those who through faith, patience, inherit the promises. So they already, or we have already learned that we're definitely not to ever imitate the first Exodus generation in the wilderness. Amen? Man, they failed. They refused to grow up. They refused to enter into the promised land. Numbers 13 and 14, remember? No, we don't want to imitate them. If we're going to inherit the promises, it means we're going to inherit what already belongs to us, what God has already promised. Remember, we have to be like Joshua and Caleb. Amen? Man, did they believe?
Yes.
They were the only two. You know, of course, Moses believed, but they were the only two that made it in. Finally, we need to believe. They believe what God said, and that's so vital for us to believe as well. I will never grow up if we don't believe God. Never. Because you'll always be doubting Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. Did you hear me? Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to Him must believe that He is, and that he is a rewarder of those who, here comes this word, diligently seeks him, goes after him. Now, so that faith there. So to inherit the promises, how is it done? Well, they already belong to us because God's already promised them. So we do it by faith. It says here we inherit them by two things. Number one, by faith. Faith sees treats the unseen as visible. It treats the future as already present. Amen? That's what faith does. So number one, faith. And number two, it says, by patience. That would be better translated, steadfast endurance, where we know what God has promised and we wait on the promise until it's fulfilled, no matter how long that might be. And that is why that the writer here, led by the Holy Spirit, he gives us now the great example of Abraham. Look at verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Now, I'm going to tell you, as many times as I've taught through this incredible book, when I get right here every time, my study time, I look at that and I just always say, we're in holy ground. I want to read it one more time. For when God made a promise, let me read it this way. When God made a promise to a human being, a man, are you listening to me? God, I'm going to make a promise to a man. And he says he couldn't swear by anyone greater because there's no one greater in the entire universe than God.
That's right.
What did he do? He swore by himself. He makes a promise to a man and then he takes an oath. Do you understand? The promise of God and the oath of God. And he says, I'm going to keep my promise. And that promise here is unconditional that he gave to Abraham. Look at verse 14. Why is it unconditional? Here it comes. Saying, God says, surely I will, not somebody else, I will bless you and multiply, I will multiply you. Now that was spoken from heaven, a direct quote from Genesis 22:17. Whenever Abraham obeyed the Lord to offer up his son Isaac, his only son. Let me read the scripture from Genesis 22:15. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because you have done this thing, remember Isaac, the sacrifice, which he didn't sacrifice, but he did, having not withheld your son, your only son, here it comes, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand that's on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, and that seed is Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. The power of obedience. Amen. Now, look at verse 15. So after, that's a very important word, after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, patiently endured is the exact opposite of slothful or lazy there in verse 12, okay? The exact opposite. So, question, how old was Abram, not Abraham, but Abram when God called him? How old was he? He was Mario's age, 75. I'm cheesing. No, he was 75, remember, when God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees to go to a place he had never been, okay, to be a blessing and all the things. Now, how many children at the age of 75 did Abram and Sarai have? None. They were childless, amen? Now, listen carefully. You're 75. Please, whatever you do right now, don't underestimate the incredible faith and patience of Abraham, because we know how long he waited for God's promise to come to pass. 25 years. Amen? He was 75. He didn't have a kid. It says in Genesis 21:5, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Let's take a look at that just for a moment. Go to Romans chapter 4. Hold your place. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, God is speaking now to Abraham. He says, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead. Sarah and Abraham, their bodies were dead. They couldn't bear children. Life to the dead, and then he does something else and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now listen. Those things that do not exist, only God can call things out of nothing to make them something. Amen? So what is God telling him right here? He's saying that Abraham's son, Isaac, means laughter, remember? Isaac, he said, he's an absolute fact. That's what God says. He wasn't born. He was an absolute fact already, even though he wasn't born. He said, he's talking to Abraham as though Isaac already existed, because only God can do that. Now, what did God do? God waited until Abraham and Sarah were both dead in their bodies, meaning they were past, they couldn't have children. Let's look at it that way, okay? So what was the only thing that Abraham could do? He had to wait, patiently endure. He had to wait on the promises of God, and that's exactly what he did. He believed the promises of God. Listen to me. God's promises are always fulfilled by God's power because they're always true. Amen? Now, verse 18, look at here about Abraham. And it says, talking about Abraham, who was contrary to hope. In other words, in his human condition, he was hopeless. He knew, okay? So he was hopeless. But in spite of all that, look what he did. In hope, what? He believed. And look at the result. So that he became, now that was after 25 years, he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now listen, even though Abraham, physically, it was impossible for him to have children, you know what he did? He wasn't hopeless. I mean, he just says, okay, I'm beyond all hope having a child. Look at the scripture. He said, but I'm not hopeless. Abraham did something. Number one, he did not deny his physical limitations, but by faith and patience, he did something. He believed the promise of God. You know, true Bible faith never pretends there's not a problem. It never denies that problem is there, but true Bible faith always believes. Look at verse 19. Talking about Abraham again, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. In other words, it was over with for that guy. Since he was 100 years old, he didn't even consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah had never had children, loved one. So what did Abraham do? He had been believing God's promise for 25 long years. And look at this now. It says his faith was not weakened. That's incredible, isn't it? We wait 25 minutes. 25 years. Here's what I penned when I read that again. I said, Abraham did something that we should do, just like he did. We should never let time, days, months, years destroy our faith when it comes to the promises of God. Never, never do that. Even though you see all the facts. He saw the facts. He knew what his body was like. He understood. And look at verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God. In other words, he didn't go back and forth and question God. He didn't waver. No, James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen? Yeah, he didn't waver at all. But listen to me. The word waver implies a physical, mental struggle. And we all are guilty of that, okay? All of us. And so he wasn't divided in his mind. But the thing is sometimes we have what's called struggling faith. And it's not that we don't believe. We do believe, but we're just trying to figure out how God's going to make this happen. And we go, well, Lord, how are you going to pull this off? See, faith, okay? Faith is not always full understanding. We don't know how God's going to make it happen. We just believed what God said. Amen? Amen. And so faith is not full understanding, but faith is always full trust. We're in revolution. Remember what I said about revolution? I said, I can declare it, I can't define it. I mean, I trust God, but I don't have a full understanding and where we're going. But God knows. Now, it says, and being fully convinced, in other words, he was fully persuaded. There was no doubt in his heart or mind, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So if we're going to imitate somebody, that's who we need to imitate right there. Man, listen. Contrary to hope, he was not hopeless. I mean, weak in faith, but he was never weak. He never doubted. He never went back and forth. He didn't waver. He just simply believed. He was fully convinced. Listen, what God promises, he's able to do. Amen? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, Ephesians 3:20. So he's able. So he waited. He obtained the promise. Question, do we have more promises than Abraham? Yes. Read the New Testament, loved one. Oh my gosh, all these incredible promises. How do you obtain the promises of God? You have to believe them. Amen. Remember the scripture I said that I could not find? Well, I found it. 2 Corinthians 1:20. And I just wanted to slap. I said, Bill, you know this by heart. It says, for all the promises of God in him, meaning in Jesus, are yes, and again, yes, amen. Amen? They're all yes. There's all the promises are yes. They're not no, they're all yes in him. Now look at verse 16 of Hebrews. It says, for men indeed swear by the greater, so meaning someone greater than themselves. And they swear an oath for confirmation is for them, it's an end of all dispute. In other words, it stops all strife. Here we go. He's making a change here. He's leaving the model of Abraham, and now he's going to the model of men, okay? So this is courtroom talk. It's like when we, if you've ever been in court or whatever, and you go up there before you sit in that chair, and they bring out the Bible, and you lay your hand on it, remember? You don't lay your hand on a Bible app, but you lay it on a Bible. Oh, I didn't hear that, but it doesn't matter. Do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, happy God? I do. Then sit down. Now, that's a model of men. Now, when you take that oath, but you better be truthful, amen? Okay, now, if men, if their oath is binding, how much more is the oath of God? You follow me?
As we close this first part of Pastor's study, be assured that though all Christians are not making the spiritual progress we should, we need never fear that God will condemn us. Now don't miss the broadcast tomorrow when Pastor continues this message and shows us the hope we have in God. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.